Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, titled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text 23. Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. Jikham Saya Apayeta Pyasadhi. Lebhe gadim dhatrichitam tatonyam. Kamvadayalam charanam rajema. Aho, alas, Baki, the she demon Putana. Yam, whom, Stana, of her breast, Kala, deadly, Kutam, poison, Jighamsaya, out of envy, Abayat, nourished, Api, although, Asadhvi, unfaithful, Lebhe, achieved, Gatim, destination, Dhatri Uchitam, just suitable for the nurse. Tataha, beyond whom. Anyam, other. Come, who else. Va, certainly. Dayalum, merciful. Charanam, shelter. Rajema, shall I take? Translation. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon Putana? Sorry, granted the position of mother to a she-demon Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. In his babyhood, he was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know that the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was no one less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. His value as the Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his devotee Yashoda. The Lord may assume the form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it doesn't make the slightest difference. He is always the same Supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become, by dint of severe penance, can never become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter?
Omagyanatimirantasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanitamscha ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪದರೂಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ್ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಭೂತೈರ್ಮಹಾದ್ಭರ್ಯ ಇಮಾ ಪುರೋ ವಿಭು ನಿರ್ಮಾಯ ಶೇತೆ ಯದಮೂಷ ಪುರುಷ ಭುಂಕ್ತೆ ಗುಣಾಂಶೋಡಶ ಷೋಡಶಾತ್ಮಕ ಸೌರಂಕೃಷೀಷ್ಟ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಚಾಂಸಿ ಮೇ.
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. This is a very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, well quoted in other scriptural writings. And this verse is glorifying the quality of the Supreme Lord as the most merciful. So the Lord is merciful in all respects, in all time, all places, and in all circumstances. So Krishna is merciful always. For instance, we can show some compassion, an element of compassion, to some people at some point of time. But it is impossible for us to imagine being compassionate always. As it is mentioned in the purport, even though the Lord appears in different forms, maybe as a baby, maybe as a human form or non-human form, in any condition, the Lord is the self-same Lord. And His compassionate nature never diminishes. For instance, the Lord is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. He is ready to follow the living entity, whether he is in the position of that of Brahma or other demigods, or the living entities are taken the form of human beings, or if the living entities have taken the form of animals, or if they have taken the form of insects. So in any condition, the Lord is accompanying the living entity and helping the living entity to survive in that particular form. So can we imagine? We can help, we can go with our friends to some degree. If they are in trouble, we can go. But the Lord is ready to be in the heart of a worm in the stool. And the Lord is present with that worm in that most abominable condition. So this is the mercy of the Lord. So the Lord never gives up His devotees, in one sense. Even though they are not acting as devotees, He never gives up His devotees. So that is the mercy of the Lord in any circumstance. Now, what to speak about His devotees? In Bhagavad Gita, for example, Krishna gives a series of verses in the 12th chapter explaining different degrees of surrender. Krishna says, the best thing is to always think about me, always be in devotional service. Mayeva manam adhasa, mayi buddhin niveshaya, nivasashyasi mayeva ada urdham na samsheha. So, always think about me, always perform devotional service. So, this is the highest platform and that we are aspiring for. So Krishna says, okay, if this is not possible, it's okay, at least perform devotional service in practice, in the regulated devotional service which we are trying to perform. So we cannot think about Krishna all the time, that's for sure. And we can't be Krishna conscious all the time. So it is recommended, okay, perform sadhana bhakti, which we are trying to do okay, get up in the morning, chant, attend Mangalarti, do Tulsi Puja, chant rounds, attend Guru Puja, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, have Prasadam, do service. So this is regulated devotional service. So Krishna is okay with that. At least do this. Then Krishna says, okay, if one cannot perform that, then one should at least support Krishna conscious activities. That is, in one sense, karma yoga. One is not really engaging in devotional service, but one can give some donation to Krishna. Say, for example, Janmashtami time, many people, many shops, they are not engaging in regulated devotional service, but they are happy to support the Krishna conscious movement. They give a donation, they give bhoga. So this is supporting the Krishna consciousness movement. So Krishna says, okay, if you cannot perform sadhana bhakti, okay, at least support Krishna consciousness by giving the results of one's activity for the propagation of Krishna consciousness or anything in service to Krishna. Then Krishna says, he goes one level further. He says, if one cannot even perform that, at least give the hard-earned results of one's work for any charitable cause. So here Krishna is not really mentioning any spiritual cause, but any charitable cause. At least give up the results of one's activity. So Krishna is giving a hierarchy of surrender. These are all different levels of surrender unto Krishna. One is direct and some are indirect. But still Krishna accepts. So we can see Krishna is compassionate. In all levels, Krishna is very compassionate. Now, what can we speak about devotees of the Lord? And what can we speak about those people who may not be devotees but who are enacting in the pastimes of the Lord? Say, for instance, there is a very wonderful verse in Nectar Devotion in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, in which first Yamunacharya glorifies Lord Ramachandra. Raghuvara yadhabhustam ta... I can't remember. Yeah, forgot the meaning. Raghuvara, the Lord Ramachandra is addressed as Raghuvara. Raghuvara means the best among the Raghus, in the Raghu dynasty in which Lord Ramachandra appeared. He is the Vara, he is the best. So he was with Mother Sita at one point, and King Indra took the shape of a crow and attacked Mother Sita. So Lord Ramachandra became very angry because this is indeed an insult to the universal mother, Sita. So he took his bow and arrow and he was about to kill Indra. However, Indra begged pardon and fell at the feet of the Supreme Lord. Then he said, okay, I will not kill you. So he actually forgave Lord Indra for his offense. So Yamunacharya glorifies Lord Ramachandra for his quality of compassion. Okay, he tolerated and actually he, okay, it is fine. He actually accepted that surrender from Indra. Then Yamunacharya goes on glorifying Lord Krishna. Now, how can we compare the tolerance of Krishna? Because Shishupal Chaidya, he's known as Chaidya, he's the king of Chedi. So Shishupal, he took many births, and in his old births he was blaspheming Krishna. So this is not his first birth blaspheming Krishna, probably the third birth. So he was blaspheming. Birth after birth, Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna. And now what he has done, even when he was a kid, this is the interesting aspect of Shishupal. Even he was a kid, he was blaspheming Krishna. You know, it's like we would like to chant Krishna's name in a spontaneous fashion in a Raganuga Bhakti. You know, we would like to have spontaneous devotion unto the Supreme Lord. Whereas Shishupal was a spontaneous demon who would blaspheme Krishna even from his childhood. So it is said, പ്രതിപദം അപരാധു മുഗ്ധ സായുജ്യതോ ഭൂ. പ്രതിപദം, ഈ ബർത്ത് ആഫ്റ്റർ ബർത്ത് ശിശുപാൽ വാസ് ബ്ലാസ്ഫേമിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ. സ്റ്റിൽ വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഗേവ് ടു ശിശുപാൽ? മുഗ്ധ സായുജ്യതോ ഭൂ. മുഗ്ധ മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് വെരി അട്രാക്റ്റീവ്. സായുജ്യത, സായുജ്യത മീൻസ് വൺ ഹു ഗിവ്സ് സായുജ്യമുക്തി. അലോവിംഗ് ഹിം ടു മെർജ് ഇൻ ടു ദ എഫൾജൻസ് കമ്മിങ് ഔട്ട് ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണസ് ബോഡി. സായുജ്യമുക്തി, merging into impersonal Brahman. So Mugdha, it is considered Mugdha, it is very attractive, not for devotees, but for the yogis and the gyanis, it is very attractive. So Krishna awarded something which is very attractive to Shishupal. Then Yamunacharya says, Vadakim apadamagadastasya testi kshamaya. What can I say about your quality of tolerance and compassion? So this is the position of Krishna in terms of mercy. And now, okay, this is good. And let's consider devotees of the Lord. It is mentioned in explanation to Daksha Yajna in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam regarding the qualities of people in terms of their vision on others. So it is considered the lowest quality is if you see good and bad in others, you only see the bad qualities. You cannot see anything good. So to a great degree, we can identify with that. That if you see good and bad, our mind get attracted to the bad qualities. And that's why when we criticize someone, there is a taste for that. That is because of our anartha deep in our heart. Glorification can be difficult, but to point out the mistakes, there is a rasa, there is a taste for that. So this is considered the lowest quality, whether one is a devotee, aspiring devotee, or a non-devotee, but this is considered as the lowest level. Next level is, if one sees good and bad in others, he can see both. He can see good and he can see bad, and you know, he takes a neutral position where he may glorify the good qualities and he may tell something bad about the bad qualities. So this is considered the next level. And a level above is if one sees good and bad in others, he will see the bad, but he will only notice the good one. Bad he will see, but he will only respond to the good qualities. He may glorify, he may act in such a way that, you know, the good qualities are expanded. So that is the next level. And a level further is considered, if there is good and bad in someone, one can only see good qualities. Okay, so this is again higher. So he cannot actually see the bad qualities, but he is so attracted to the good qualities. So this is considered even exalted. Why is it considered exalted? Because of the purity of the heart, he can only see the good qualities. In the bad qualities, it is just diminished. He can't see. In fact, we had to understand that great devotees, even though they see bad qualities in others, they see it with difficulty. Say, for example, Srila Prabhupada, he said, it is difficult to be in the position of a guru. He said, why? Because now that I have to see bad qualities in others and I have to correct that. So he said it's difficult. See, for a pure devotee, how difficult it is to see the bad quality in others. So this is considered very glorified quality. Now, even higher than this is there. Even higher than this. That is, one sees the good quality and even doesn't see the bad quality. Okay, this is very exalted and it is practically beyond our imagination. But there is a level even above that. That level is called, one sees only the good qualities in a magnified way. So he sees the good qualities, not that he just sees the good qualities, but he sees in a very magnified way. So Lord Shiva is actually glorified for having this quality. So he only sees the good quality and he actually sees in a very magnified way. Okay, he has such a wonderful quality because he's a very great devotee. Right, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Why this quality is mentioned? Because Daksha, in the Daksha Yajna, he criticized Lord Shiva saying he's like a madman, dancing in crematorium, throwing ashes all around his body. And look at his eyes. My daughter, Sati, has eyes like a deer cub, and his eyes are like that of a monkey. So he just blasphemed in so many different ways. So still, Lord Shiva is glorified because, one, he didn't respond to that. Point number two, that why he goes to crematorium? Because he sees potential in even the lowest people who are residing in crematorium, who are unfortunate not to have a human body because of their sinful activity. At the same time, they are living in subtle bodies. So to elevate them and to give them a human body so that they can make some progress, for that, Lord Shiva goes to such abominable places. So that's why it's mentioned again that if there is a union between man and woman in a wrong time, then Lord Shiva takes this as an opportunity to send some lower species into that womb so that they get an opportunity in the human form. So this is actually considered compassion of Lord Shiva. So okay, so this is another level of compassion. Yes. Now, let's consider the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord is, he can show the compassion to the maximum degree. He's the epitome of compassion. So that is narrated in this particular pastime. And Lord Krishna is glorified for that level of compassion. So we know what happened in Vrindavan. Kamsa had his two-sided plan, double-edged plan. What was that? He wanted to destroy the Brahmana class, right? He wanted to destroy the Brahmana class because he understood if Brahmanas becomes weak, then Vishnu is deriving power from Brahmanas. So by annihilating Brahmanical culture, we can conquer over Vishnu. So this was one plan of Kamsa. What was his second approach? His second approach was that he knows that the children are born in Vraja, so he wanted to kill them. Right? So he was quite strategic in terms of safeguarding his position. So he thought, okay, I had to send a demon. And who was that? Putana. So that's her, this pastime is coming. How Kamsa sends Putana, and Putana is not ordinary. She's very powerful. She is so powerful that she can change any form. And these Rakshasis are trained. They have mystical power that they can travel very fast. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that in some parts of India, I don't know which part, some parts of India, there is this witchcraft through which they train to fly on a stick. They can sit on a stick and they can fly over, you know. So this is like, you know, you may, broomstick probably, you know, you might have seen in some Harry Potter or something, you know. Witchcraft, you know, they can just fly. So Putana was like that. She could fly anywhere. That's why her name is Ghechari. Ghe means Ghe, you know, you might have heard the term Ghe, Gham. You know, Gham Mano Buddhirevacha in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, the different elements. So Ghe is referring to the sky. And Chari means one who can fly or one who can travel. So Putana's another name is Ghechari. So she was very expert. So she flew over from wherever she was to Vrindavan during the night because she wanted to avoid high visibility, because she was a huge demon and, you know, anyone could notice so easily. So she came in the night, and then when she approached the Vrindavan, before entering into Vrindavan, she changed her form into a very beautiful form. Then one question could be asked, how is it possible that a demon could enter Vrindavan? It sounds a bit illogical, right? Because the Lord is all-powerful and everything is under his jurisdiction. Similarly, all his devotees are powerful. So how could she enter the Vrajabhumi? So it is mentioned that Lord's Leela Shakti was acting. So the Lord's Leela Shakti personally helped Putana to enter Vrindavan. So it was by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord himself. Then once she got into Vrindavan, her form was so beautiful It's mentioned she was looking just like Lakshmi Devi. She had very beautiful bodily features, and she had a lotus flower in her hand. And when she approached Nanda Maharaja's house, she could enter the house unchecked by anyone. Even she could enter the private bedroom of Nanda Maharaj without anyone's notice, and no one said anything. In fact, it is mentioned that Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they started thinking she is goddess of fortune herself, now has appeared in Vrajabhumi to meet her husband Lord Narayan. Why? Because Nanda Maharaj worshipped Lord Narayan. So to meet her husband, she has come personally. So this was the kind of thoughts going on in the mind of Mother Yashoda and Rohini. So they allowed Putana to enter, and she took the opportunity and she went inside. And when she went inside, she could see Krishna. And exactly?
Gokul.
In Gokul, yes. In Gokul, exactly. So she could see Krishna, and Krishna had his eyes closed. So now there is a very interesting point that Krishna could actually understand everything, because he's Sarvagya. He had his Sarvagya Shakti, that he could understand everything what's going on. But still, he didn't respond. He just kept his eyes closed, right? And not only that, he allowed Putana to place him on her lap. So Bhagavatam says, Anantam Aropen Angam Antakam. Anantam Aropen, she placed Anantam, the unlimited, on her lap. But that unlimited is Antakam. So Srila Prabhupada writes, there is a contradiction in this statement. Anantam Aropen Angam Antakam. The contradiction is that Anantam, the unlimited, and Antakam. Antakam means one is a source of destruction. These two are contradictory. Why is it so? Because Putana wanted to kill the person who is the cause of her destruction. So this is a contradiction. She wanted to kill who is going to kill her. So, you know, and why he is Antakam? Because he is unlimited, because he is Ananta. So it is impossible for Putana to kill Krishna. It's a simple fact. But she tried. So it's mentioned Putana is unintelligent because she is a demon. She's unintelligent. So she was just taking a snake on her lap. And Krishna was just like the fire which is covered with ashes. Sometimes it happens. You know, you just see the ashes, especially if you know the ancient traditional cooking. You know, you just see the ashes. You won't see the actual fire. But if you actually touch, if you try to remove that ashes, it happened to many people in households. Try to remove the ashes and hands get burnt because the fire is there inside. In the same way, Putana wanted to kill Krishna. But Krishna was, you know, pretending to be sleeping with his eyes closed. So now Krishna is on the lap of Putana. And she was expert in killing babies. So this is the deceitful nature of Putana. Being in the position of a mother is very exalted because it is a position of love. But now, using that position, Putana had already killed so many babies. It's mentioned in Vraja. Even in Vraja, she has killed many babies. So what to speak about other places? So she was expert in killing babies. And now the Supreme Lord is on her lap. So why Krishna closed his eyes? Anyone knows why Krishna closed his eyes? One reason, he closed his eyes because he was acting as a child. So if you close your eyes, it means you are fearful. So Krishna wanted to show that I am fearful of this demon, so I want to close my eyes. So Krishna closed his eyes because he was pretending to be a child. Actually, as purport says, he is the self-same Supreme Lord, even though he is acting the part of a child. Then Krishna thought that this Putana is a demon. She's a Rakshasi. So why should I see such inauspicious person? So she thought, okay, better I avoid seeing this inauspicious person. Rather, I close my eyes. Then Krishna's vision is considered all auspicious. Do you know the name Sudarshan? No, Sudarshan, what is the meaning of Sudarshan? Sudarshan means most auspicious vision. So when Krishna glances in his, even his expanded form, glances over the material nature, actually that vision is considered Sudarshan. Chakra has to play a role. So that is considered Sudarshan. So Krishna's vision in any condition, any form of life, any time, it is most auspicious. So Krishna knew that he is going to kill Putana. So he didn't want to glance upon Putana, because if he opens his eyes, this inauspicious occasion would turn into most auspicious occasion. Then he cannot perform violence. So Krishna thought, it is better for me to close my eyes, to have some violence. Krishna wanted violence, so for that sake, Krishna closed his eyes. Then Krishna started thinking, how can I open my eyes? Because she is a woman and she has come as a mother. And I know she is going to feed me, or trying to feed me with some milk. So how can I, you know, open my eyes? Because it is quite shameful. So he knows he's going to kill her. So I don't want to see a lady whom I am going to kill. And also she came as a mother. So I don't want to see that. So in that respect, he closed his eyes. And finally, especially he knows that death is going to happen soon. So specifically, he didn't want to see the death. So for that sake, he thought, okay, it's better for me to close my eyes. So there are many reasons for Krishna to close his eyes. So with all these reasons, he closed his eyes. And then, sure enough, Putana tried to feed milk which was covered with poison. That's why it is mentioned, Jighamsaya. Jighamsaya means, what's the translation? Out of envy. Apayat apyasadhvim. So she wanted to kill Krishna, baby Krishna. And she tried to give the milk which was completely covered with poison. But then what happened? Krishna took charge. Krishna held on to her body with complete force. And he sucked the milk, the poison, and the life air. So all three came out from Putana, and Putana just wanted to get rid of Krishna, but she couldn't, because it is mentioned Krishna held on to her with utmost force, so she couldn't do anything. Rather, she just ran away from Nanda Maharaja's house. She just ran away, and because of pain, she couldn't maintain her beautiful body. She had to manifest her original form, which was ghastly, which was huge. And she cried out aloud, and then she fell dead. So this was the plight of Putana. So this is interesting, because even though Krishna killed Putana, what she attained, what position did she attain? Lebhe gadim dhatrujitam katonya. Lebhe gadim dhatrujitam. Dhatri means the nurse. The position that of a nurse in the spiritual world. So from one side, Krishna took her life, but on the other side, she got the highest position. Because even the jnanis, even the yogis, they couldn't achieve such a position. This is position of a nurse in the spiritual world, or equivalent position as a mother in the spiritual world. Because Krishna only saw that nature as her attempt to feed milk. So he didn't actually see the poison part. Then it is also mentioned that when Krishna was killing Putana, Krishna became very angry. Even though his eyes was closed, he was very angry. Why he became so angry? It's mentioned that he became angry not because of Putana's attempt to kill him, rather because she had killed so many babies in Vrajabhumi. So because of that, Krishna became very angry. So actually Krishna killed Potana not because she tried to kill Krishna, because which is an impossible task and it is foolish. But she had already killed many babies in Brajabhumi. So because of that, Krishna became angry and killed Potana. But Lebhe Gadim Dhatrijitam Katonya Kamva Dayalam Sharanam Rajema. So who is more merciful? Kamva Dayalam, who is more merciful than Krishna? And so who can we take shelter of? Who is the best candidate to take shelter of? So that is a question posed by Uddhava, right? Uddhava is remembering about Krishna, glorifying the merciful aspect of Krishna. Now we can see even Lord Brahma is astonished thinking about this incident after Brahma Vimohana Leela. We can read in the 14th chapter of 10th canto. So Lord Brahma makes a very interesting statement. I will just read that. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Potana and her family members in exchange of her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? So this is a question of Lord Brahma. You have given yourself to Potana. You have given the position of mother to Potana and her family members, all the Rakshasas. So what could be the befitting award for the residents of Vrindavan who have given everything to Krishna? So what is the answer to that? What is the befitting reward for the residents of Vrindavan? What is that? Leaving them, maybe, yes. But what Krishna says? Exactly. Na pareham. I cannot repay that. Krishna says, I cannot repay that. He makes the final thing. I cannot repay that, but therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your this compensation. So that is the compensation, that gopis are glorified for their devotion, for their unalloyed love. So that is the compensation Krishna can give. There is no other compensation that Krishna could give personally. So this is the conclusion. So that actually shows the most merciful nature of Krishna. And also this verse is interesting because Shukadev Goswami, once he took birth, he left his father Vyasadev, and Vyasadev started crying out, calling out for his son, because he hasn't even performed the basic rites, the basic samskaras as the after the child's birth. So as Vyasadev was calling out, it's mentioned viraha kataram, pain out of separation. He couldn't do anything. So then Vyasadeva decided what to do. So he sent his disciples with Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So first one is glorifying the beauty of Krishna, mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Barhapidam Nadavaravapu, that verse. And the second verse, why that verse is important? Because it presents the all attractive nature of Krishna along with his devotees. And hearing this verse, because the disciples of Vyasadeva, they went to Shukadev Goswami, who was sitting somewhere, and they narrated this verse. And then Shukadev Goswami got completely attracted by this verse. He understood, okay, Krishna is so beautiful. Then he started thinking, so he is such an attractive personality, but will I ever get shelter of such a great personality? So Shukadev Goswami was confused in that respect. So to remove that confusion, the disciples chanted this verse, that is Ahobakiyam Stanakala Kotam, showing the utmost mercy of the Supreme Lord. Then Shukadeva Goswami got convinced that there is a higher knowledge than his level of realization, which was Brahman realization. As he himself says in the second canto, ಪರಿದಿಷ್ಟದೋಪಿ ನರ್ಗುಣ್ಯ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಗೀತ ವಾರ್ತೆಯ ಗೃಹೀತ ಚೇತ ರಾಜರ್ಷಿ ಆಖ್ಯಾತಮೇತ ಅಧೀತವಾನ್. ದಟ್ ಈವನ್ ದೋ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್, ಬಟ್ ಐ ಗಾಟ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ದ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್. ಸೊ ಅಧೀತವಾನ್, ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಲರ್ನ್ಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ವಿಚ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ನಾ ರೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ಡ್ ವೆರಿ ಸಿಗ್ನಿಫಿಕೆಂಟ್. ಸೊ ಐ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೀ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಎನಿ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕಾಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ಎಸ್ ಪ್ರಭು. ಅಸಾಧ್ವೀಯ. The translation here is unfaithful. So if you want to me why it is unfaithful, it is in fact it is unfaithful, isn't it? Coming as a mother and cheating, taking the position of trust and faith and then trying to kill. So that is definitely asadhvi. It's opposite to sadhu. Sadhu is a saintly person who is trustworthy. Asadhu is the opposite, and asadhvi because it's a woman. It's a lady here. Yeah. Yes, bro.
So what is the thin line between correction and finding faults? Can you explain that?
If one is in a position to correct, then one has to find fault and correct.
What is the position description?
Position description? If you are in charge of one service and devotees are not doing their service correctly, then you are in a position to correct. At the same time, one is not entitled to correct someone just like that, you know, finding fault, you know, I can just go and correct anyone. No. If it is related to service and if you are in charge of something, then you must. That is your duty. If you are in a responsible position and if there are people who are under you, then you are responsible to correct. And there are different levels of correction. Sometimes a correction can be in relation to service, but you cannot correct the other behaviors if it's not affecting the service. It's not none of your position. So one has to be. So that is correcting. And fault finding is, you know, spontaneous fault finding. You see everywhere, you know, see fault. You know, it's good to see in oneself spontaneously. It is better. Yeah. If one is in a position of responsibility to correct and if one doesn't correct, why? Maybe not doing the service properly. If one is required to, then one is not doing that. Not right. And there are different ways of correction also. Correction doesn't mean, you know, you have to tell them off straight away. There are different ways of correcting. Krishna is independent. He can do what he wants. That is one reason. Second, Putana served. Tried to serve in a wrong way, but tried to serve. So Krishna reciprocated in that way.
So what do you understand? That the wrong way is also the service to the Krishna? The wrong way to serve something is also...
So it is mentioned, it is very difficult to serve Krishna in a wrong way and get the reward as we expect. it's much easier to be a devotee. If one wants to be a demon who can be in the pastime of Krishna and to challenge Krishna and try to kill Krishna, it is very difficult. Extremely difficult. So better off try to be a devotee. More practical. Because for Krishna to kill anyone, he doesn't need to come himself. It's so easy for him to kill, punish anyone. Correct? Isn't it difficult? Death is there for free of cost, right? Death is there, right? It comes anyway. So trying to be a demon is difficult. It's a tough task. So it's not recommended. Okay, that's why it is mentioned, Bhagavad Gita, there is a very nice verse describing position of such people who are doing blasphemy and those who are Mayavadis. You know what is Krishna's mercy? He will perpetually cast them down to hellish planets or the animal kingdom. So that is the mercy. It's considered still, it's a mercy of the Lord. Why it's a mercy? Then they will not get an opportunity to blaspheme. So they will put them in a position where they cannot blaspheme. So it's a mercy. So that's also mercy. Don't expect to go back to Godhead. This is actually it's mentioned. Of Mayavadis, that's the mercy they get. They can go to lower planets, you know, suffering conditions. So that they cannot blaspheme anymore. Krishna is independent. He can do what he wants to do. Then in particular case, if you ask about Shishupal, Shishupal is ultimately, who is Shishupal? Huh? Exactly, Dwarapala, like, you know, J.M. Vijaya, they are appearing in different births, so Dandavakra and, you know, Shishupal, they are J.M. Vijaya, so that's another side of the story. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Granthashashimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai.